And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, Secrets, Volume 145. Secrets, Volume 145. A lot of things to talk about today. Some great mail from our friends who tell me all kinds of things. We'll talk about who killed Obama. Who killed Barack Obama? Well, as far as I know, he's not dead, but there's a T-shirt out there with the words on it asking that question, who killed Obama? And it has the head and face of the senator from Illinois running for president. Who made this T-shirt? And what are they up to? Well, we'll talk about that. Everybody seems to be interested in the weather. We've had incredible weather patterns the last few years, it seems like. And we have had, three or four years ago, the tornadoes across the Midwest and on into Utah and Atlanta, Georgia, even. This year, we've had many tornadoes, incredible flooding along the Mississippi, Ohio rivers throughout Iowa, Missouri, and the Midwest. So the question is there someone using technology to manipulate the weather? Well, maybe. We'll talk about that. I had a program on, six, 8 weeks ago called Operation Jericho. There we have something manufactured, an earthquake planned for the city of Jerusalem. Will it coincide with the bombing by Israel and the United States of Iran? We'll discuss that. Assembles. In my book, Codex Magic, of course, I expose the Illuminati signs and symbols. And continue to get mail from folks asking me about it. One has to do with the Republican Party elephant. And maybe I'll get to that as well. Then there was a strange thing that Bush was doing, President Bush, when he met the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, a few weeks back. The Bible codes. There was a best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list about the Bible codes. And some people believe that they can divine the future by finding hidden words in the Bible. I've talked about this a couple times in the past, but it still pops up its ugly head, and we'll talk about it. Then there are the groups out there that claim to be, such loving advocates of the Jews. Friends of Israel, they call themselves. One is the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. I got a letter from them recently. I'd like to reveal a little bit about that. And then Jews for Jesus. A friend of mine got a letter from them. Maybe you'll want to know what they're up to. Well, let's get to work. We've got so much to do. Canada shutting a ministry down. Condoleezza Rice saying that she's the 66th keeper of the Great Seal. Mexico, it's magic, it's warlocks, it's witches, it's deviltry, and more. See, we got a full agenda. I just hope we can get to it all here. So let's get going. Here's a letter I received from Jeremy over in New Zealand, way away from us, the other side of the world practically. And he thanks me for receiving his catalog of all of our products. I guess you'd call them products, DVDs, books that we've done. And he explains that, let me just read what he has to say. He says, please don't take offense to what I'm about to say. I just try to be honest. I had a problem with your promoting the King James Bible only. However, I must tell you that the more I read of the Bible, the more I can see that it is the only true Word of God. So I just want you to know I've changed my mind about this. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Glad you changed your mind. I mean, you're on the very thin ice if you don't. Well, William writes me about this Obama t-shirt. He says, "Dear Brother Tex, I've been a longtime listener to you on the shortwave. I've been known to cancel or shorten my weekend engagements just so I can get home in time to catch your 8 p.m. Saturday or 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday broadcast. I just love listening to the info that you share with us, and I know that it's done with your typical good sense of humor. Although I'm a homegrown Pennsylvanian," he says, "I lived in Houston during the early 1980s. So that would make him a native Texan, I suppose. Well, yeah, we'll give you credit for that, William, if you lived here for a while. He says, "I heard you speak about the Obama t-shirt this past weekend." Let me stop right there. What he's referring to is on one of my programs here on the radio, I exposed the fact that a Israeli fashion designer in New York City had come out with a t-shirt. And on the t-shirt has a picture of Obama, and it says, "Who killed Obama?" And evidently it was selling thousands, and mostly to Jewish youth. They must really hate this Obama. They want the man dead. He says, "I heard you speak about the Obama t-shirt, and I want you to know that this past Saturday afternoon, I was shopping in the Everything Natural Health Food Store in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and I noticed a woman's shirt for sale. It was tightly fitted over a curvaceous mannequin. The shirt and mannequin were wrapped in a stylish belt. I looked at the shirt more closely and was amazed to see the words, 'Who killed Barack Obama?' written on the front. I thought it was some kind of a sick joke. The shirt looked and felt not much better than a typical Walmart men's undershirt that I might wear to protect my good Sunday dress shirt from perspiration. The price of the shirt, however, was $183. Can you imagine that price for a cheap t-shirt? I've shopped at this store since it opened 20 years ago, and I'm friendly with the owners. Although the owners seem to be nice people, it might be of interest to note that they are Jews. Just thought I'd pass that on to you. Keep up the great work, and may the Lord bless you." And that was signed by William. Okay, we got that. Sort of interesting. Here's from Robert. He sends me an email. He says, "About Jimmy Carter, who you mentioned. I spent 28 years in the military reserve myself, starting out as a private and retiring as a commander in the Naval Reserve. I've been reading Jimmy Carter's book, Peace, Not Apartheid. He was, of course, somewhat critical of some of Israel's political leaders and policies. Apparently, this really irritated Fox Network's Sean Hannity and his employers. I heard him on Fox TV say that Jimmy Carter's book indicates that the former president is senile." Jimmy Carter recently referred to Israel's nuclear weapons capabilities. And I watched former U.S. Senator Graham comment on TV that Jimmy Carter should never have breached this military secret and that Israel's nuclear capability is top secret. I watched Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America some time ago. She was reporting on the countries of the world that have nuclear weapons. She mentioned 8 countries, but made no mention of Israel. Well, thank you for that, Robert. Of course, Jimmy Carter was the first president to spill the beans, so to speak. Yeah, of course, Israel's had nuclear weapons for decades. They stole them from America, with the help, possibly, of some of our top political leaders. And as far as Senator Graham, what a crud this guy is. Everybody in Texas knows what a crud he is. And by the way, he's the guy that helped John McCain, as senator, plug up or mess up our oil situation, our stock market situation. He made it possible for the manipulators to drive up the price of oil to outrageous astronomical levels today. He created in the law when he was senator from Texas, this Phil Graham, this nut, he created what they call the Enron loophole. So you can sell futures in oil and commodities and such, and you can do it secretly, clandestinely, and sort of launder the money overseas, and nobody will know you're rigging the stock market and the commodities markets. And of course, that's exactly what Goldman Sachs and Citibank and all the others are doing. Everybody knows the price of oil shouldn't be up near 140. Almost every analyst say if it was fair price, it'd probably be $65 to $70 a barrel. And you'd be paying $2 a gallon at the pump. But instead, it's $140 a barrel, and you're paying over $4, and some say it'll go up to $7 or $10 a gallon before it's over. Thanks to Senator McCain and Senator Phil Enron Kissup Graham. And now Graham's trying to tell us, well, we shouldn't be revealing Israel's military secrets. Well, that's classified top secret. To who? To who is that classified top secret, Senator Graham? I don't think Israel is part of the United States. The last I checked the map, and I could pretty well recite all of the 50 states, I don't think Israel is one of them. So what do you mean we should never have breached this military secret? What military secret? And of course, Israel's spies are stealing them from us all the time. Right now, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the most powerful lobby group in the world, two of its top operatives have been indicted for stealing, for bribing, evidently, a Pentagon Jewish, I don't want to call him American, Larry Franklin, but he's not an American. He worked at the Pentagon, and he stole secrets and gave them to Israel through AIPAC. These people, these AIPAC people, deserve to be put in prison, and they need to throw away the key. And Phil Graham, if you don't understand that you weren't senator from Israel, you're senator from Texas. I know the name of the senator from Israel. His name is Joseph Lieberman. You say, no, he's from New Hampshire. Oh, he is not. He doesn't put New Hampshire first. Senator Joseph Lieberman is the senator from Israel. And another senator from Israel is Senator McCain. Of course, he's an Israel. He does whatever Israel tells him to do. Somebody asked me recently about the weather. Well, I'm a little hot today just talking about that, to be very honest with you. And I'm in an air-conditioned place here. Well, you know, beginning about 20 years ago, the military really began in earnest to build a system called the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. The acronym is HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Now, I know there's an ARP, you know, for American Association of Retired Persons, but this isn't it, folks. This is not ARP. This is HAARP. And today, they have 300 towers. They look like gigantic television antennas, the kind that used to be on the top of many homes, but you don't see much of them today. In Air Force 2025, an unclassified, by the way, some parts of it are classified, but Air Force 2025 report, most of it was declassified some years ago, and I got a copy of it. And in it, the Air Force authors from the Pentagon said that it was the goal of the U.S. Air Force to own the weather by the year 2025. Now, the 2025 report came out about a decade ago, so they've been working on this for a long time. In fact, years ago, when I was an Air Force officer at a special school that I was sent to learn about, well, I guess you might say World War III, the potential of it, we were told of certain classified weapon systems having to do with the weather and our control of the weather. Is it possible to cause tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes? Can these be curbed? Can you cause intense rainstorms that would continue violently for days on end and cause flooding in a certain area of the world? And is that what HAARP is all about? Why are these great towers, high-frequency towers, being built? Hundreds of them. I believe it is exactly that. Many people believe that the chemtrails, these trails coming out from many of the airplanes, are in fact somehow related to this weather control program. And I believe exactly that. Now, of course, we've had jet trails ever since the age of the jet aircraft. So not every trail you see behind a jet airliner or an aircraft is a chemtrail. But nevertheless, there are airplanes operating and releasing certain chemical substances into the air, and these may have something to do with the HAARP program. And, we've had earthquakes since the beginning of time. So when an earthquake occurs, we should not automatically, snap to and say, that's HAARP. That was caused by the government. Not necessarily. But we know they're working on it. And by the year 2025, and again, that's only 16 or 17 years away, the Air Force has said we will own the weather. That's sort of an interesting statement there, isn't it? Well, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes, the symbols. The satanic symbols. Dear Brother Tex, Twyla writes to me. She says, have you seen the Republican National Committee's elephant? He has a five-pointed star for an eye. And it is red, of course, the red star of communism. And his trunk is shaped like an S for Satan. And his trunk is undeniably a serpent. So a serpentine trunk shaped like an S for Satan. A five-pointed red star on the Republican elephant. And, of course, his tusk are actually two horns. Interesting. That would be Satan and his Antichrist. I picked up the image on the YouTube website. Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? Is that all that by coincidence? Well, of course. I mean, the Republican Party, just like the Democrats, pure as driven snow, aren't they? Oh, yes. Let me clear my throat here. Maybe I better take a swig of coffee, Jerry. What do you think, Got to keep my throat cleared at these, inopportune moments. Well, here's from Mark. And Mark writes to me and says, dear Tex, I'm starting to read your book, Codex Magica, and learning to see with new eyes. President Bush met Queen Elizabeth on Sunday at St. George's Chapel, Windsor, in England. Here is a short clip from the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation. And by the way, this was an email I got from Mark, so I, watched the clip, watched the video. And Mark said to me here in this email, he said, the last few seconds are the interesting bit when they say goodbye to each other. The Queen and President Bush are pulling up their sleeves after Bush shows something in his hand. Any clue as to what this signifies? Interestingly, writes Mark, today Prince William, that's Queen Elizabeth's son, the one they say will be the next king of England, He's the son, I said he's actually the grandson of Queen Elizabeth, the son of Prince Charles and the late Princess Diana. Today, Mark said, Prince William was given the Order of the Garter, the oldest order of chivalry, in St. George's Chapel, a day after Bush's visit. Oh, yes. Well, of course, the Order of the Garter is a secret society, and supposedly only high-level British noblemen can be members of the order. And Prince William, of course, would qualify. This Order of the Garter has to do with the serpent, actually. Maybe someday I'll do a whole investigative report on the Order of the Garter. It's a very, very, very powerful black, I call it black, in other words, dark-hearted secret society, the Order of the Garter. It has to do with a sexual scandal. The garter, of course, is what is worn on the leg of a woman, usually a prostitute, and the garter is taken off and during the sex act. It's all a seedy thing, but these evil men from England are part of this secret society. Now back to the Queen of England and President Bush when they met. In watching the video, I thought it was very curious. The Queen, they came out of St. George's Chapel there at Windsor, and I saw the Queen escort, you know, and of course Prince Philip, her husband, was with her, and Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth, escorted President Bush and Laura Bush to their waiting limo just outside. And as they did, I saw President Bush take his the sleeve of his coat and pull it up slightly, and he showed her the palm of his hand. And she looked at it with great interest and nodded her head, yes. Now, what is the meaning of this? Well, frankly, Mark, I don't know. What would it be? I mean, what would he say? I've got dirt on my hand. Read my palm. I don't know what the man said, but I think it was very, very curious. But of course, remember President George W. Bush, as was his father, George Herbert Walker Bush, and was his father, Prescott Sheldon Bush. They were all members and are members in the case of the senior Bush and junior Bush of the Order of Skull and Bones, another dark, black-hearted secret society out of Yale University. And there's no doubt that at some level or another, all of these secret societies and orders work together for the good of the Illuminati, wealthy, powerful elite. I have no doubt that President Bush was invited on at this particular time and on this occasion, and he probably was in attendance at the Order of the Garter when Prince William was honored by becoming an initiate of the order. So here again, we have all of these orders working together. I recall back in 1966, a very fateful year, when it was reported that, and accurately I might add, that Billy Graham, the evangelist, was in attendance at the 33rd degree initiation ceremony at the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. Now, that's the Mother Lodge, the Supreme Lodge of the ancient and accepted rite, that is, the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the largest order in the world. And yet, Billy Graham's organization insists he is not a Mason. They don't deny that he was at that meeting, at that particular initiation ceremony. And it would be hard to deny it because the man who told me that Billy Graham was there was Jim Shaw from Florida, and Jim Shaw was there himself. And Mr. Shaw, who became a pastor, by the way, after he renounced Freemasonry and his 33rd, you know, hoity-toity degree, Jim Shaw told me that he had been part of the ritual. He had kneeled before the great black altar and drank wine from a human skull. And as he sat there drinking the wine from the human skull and all the mumbo jumbo was going on with all the people in their strange clothing, costumes, he looked on the wall and saw the great phoenix serpents emblazoned on the wall and the double-headed eagle far on the ceiling, or the wall, I should say, the far wall behind the altar. He was initiated that day into the 33rd degree, and according to Reverend Jim Shaw, there were three well-known evangelists or pastors there that day. There were probably many others, but he recognized these three because he had seen them on TV so often. One was Norman Vincent Peale, the father of positive thinking, the publisher of Guidepost Magazine. The second man was Robert Schuller, the pastor from the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. The third was Billy Graham, evangelist. Now, if it's true that Billy Graham is not a member of the Scottish Rite Freemasons, then he had to have been a member of some other secret order and have attained a rank that is at least equivalent to the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, or he could not have been there as a guest, because they don't let just anybody in there. Now, friends, if you don't believe me, why don't you call the House of the Temple, their administrative offices in Washington, D.C., and just tell them, say, hey, I might be in town there in Washington, D.C., this coming year during your 33rd degree initiation ceremonies. Would you please make room for me? I'd like to reserve a seat there inside your sanctuary and see what they have to say. But don't waste your time. I can already tell you what they would say to you. So it's interesting to me then that Bush goes and visits the Queen when her grandson, Prince William, who will be end up being King of England, is initiated into the Order of the Garter. And by the way, they have a certain part of the ceremony, they let the news media come in and take pictures of them all there in their clothing. And then the news media are ushered out, and they have a time of silence and solitude in which no one but the members are allowed, which I believe is the time they worship Satan. But again, I don't have any TV clips of that. Just my guesstimation. But the Bible does say, by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, how much time we got here on this side, Jerry? Oh, we don't have much time at all. We're going to have to take a little break. Come back, we're going to talk about the Bible codes, the Canadian ministry that's been ordered to shut down, Condoleezza Rice, she's the keeper of the Great Seal. Ooh. I'm Tex Marshall, listening to Power of Prophecy. This is Secrets, Volume 145, and I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars here again. You know, a lot of people are interested in secret societies and orders. And I'll never forget the day that Anthony Sutton wrote me. Anthony Sutton, you see, was a great scholar, one of America's finest. And he was with the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. And I had written a number of books, Dark Secrets of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age. And he wrote to me and he said, Tex, I don't know if you know who I am. I'm Professor Anthony Sutton, and I wrote some books exposing the Bush family, the Bush dynasty, and for that, they've booted me out of the Hoover Institution. because the Hoover Institution is basically, you know, run by the Republican Party elite. And they didn't like what I published exposing the Bush family's connections with a secret order called the Order of Skull and Bones. And he said, I'd like to begin a communication with you. You seem to be an honest man, Mr. Mars, interested in these subjects. And I know someday I won't be here, he said. He said, you see, I'm 80 years old, and I want to turn over my records and my knowledge to a younger man. Well, at the time, I guess I was, you know, I think about 50 myself, 48, I can't even remember. So I wrote back to Anthony Sutton, Dr. Anthony Sutton, and said, sure, I'd be glad to communicate with you. And I said, I've been studying the Skull and Bones myself. And I was aware of Dr. Sutton's book entitled The Secret Establishment. The Secret Establishment, which was the first and only book to expose the Order of Skull and Bones. And interestingly enough, and this is the way God works. Yes, that's right, God. One day, we got an envelope in the mail, and it was sort of bulky envelope. I opened it up right here at the ministry, and an anonymous person was sending me a list of all of the members of the Order of Skull and Bones since it began way back in the 1800s, a list of all the members. I found that very interesting because I started scanning it. And I saw some names that had never come up in the press. Of course, they don't talk much about Skull and Bones anyway. They talk more now than they ever did. But I saw John Kerry's name, for example. Senator John Kerry. I saw a Senator Hines' name. By the way, John Kerry's wife, Teresa Hines, who is a billionaire, was married to Senator John Hines. And Senator John Hines was of the, you know, the Hines ketchup fortune. Actually, it's Hines Foods. Remember, they even have Hines 57 brand and so forth. In any case, I could see that former presidents, senators, congressmen, CEOs of some of America's largest corporations, presidents of universities. I saw the name Senator David Boren. He was chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He had been initiated into Skull and Bones. By the way, today he is the president of the University of Oklahoma. The Sooners, if you're a football fan and want to know their mascot in Norman, Oklahoma. In any case, this was a valuable thing. What did I do with it? Did I hoard it? Did I keep it up? No. I put it on the internet. I made it available on the internet so everybody would know the names of the members of Skull and Bones. Now, with Dr. Sutton's encouragement, he had just begun. He had scratched the surface. And I told him I'd like to write a follow-up book. He said he's too old and too tired and exhausted. Well, okay, well, I'll write a follow-up book. And he was kind enough to send me a lot of information about the Order of Skull and Bones, and thus came out my book, Dark Majesty, subtitled The Secret Brotherhood and the Magic of 1,000 Points of Light. Dark Majesty. It became a bestseller, and we still have it. We've updated it a couple of times. Now we have the revised edition for you. We've added, of course, John Kerry. Since he ran for president. Isn't it interesting? We had two men running for president. One supposedly from Texas, George W. Bush. The other from, where is it? The People's Republic of Massachusetts. I think that's the name of it. John Kerry up there, the senator. They both ran for president of the United States. One Democrat, one Republican. But both of them former bonesmen. In my book, by the way, I exposed the fact that Bill Clinton, no less a man than William Jefferson Clinton, got his start in politics by his connections to Skull and Bones. He was not a bonesman, but he knew the bonesman. In fact, Madame Skull and Bones, Pamela Harriman, her husband was the patriarch of Skull and Bones, former New York Governor Avril Haramon, and he also was former ambassador to the Soviet Union, Pamela Harriman took a liking to Bill Clinton. She was a little older. She'd been the mistress, let me be nice about it, the mistress to Lord Rothschild over in Europe. The mistress to Lord Rothschild. And somehow she ended up married to the top dog in the Skull and Bones and was living in at Georgetown right outside of Washington, D.C. And it just so happened that Bill Clinton was a student then at Georgetown University, which is strange in itself because Georgetown University is a Catholic Jesuit university, the secret order of the Jesuits. What was Bill doing there? Since Bill Clinton claimed to be a little Southern Baptist boy from back in Arkansas. Well, his counselor in his high school from Hope, Arkansas, where the soon-to-become president Bill Clinton went to high school, said that he only applied for one university, Georgetown, and he was accepted there. Of course, you know, everything is greased for the Illuminati. So he goes to a Catholic Jesuit school, but he's a Southern Baptist boy. And while he's there, he meets Madame Pamela Harriman, mistress of Rothschild, and now the wife of the patriarch of Skull and Bones. Oh, this boy's career is being guided, isn't it? And of course, later he goes on to get his law degree from Yale University, where he meets Rockin' Hillary Rodham. And that's where Skull and Bones establishment is. They're living in the tomb, which is adjacent to a cemetery right off the campus grounds of Yale University, whose motto, by the way, happens to be Ordo Ab Chao, or Order Out of Chaos, which also is the motto of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. You see, friends, when you get in the alligator pit, I don't care whether the alligator says, hey, I'm of the Order of the Garter, or I'm of the Jesuits, or I'm of Skull and Bones. They're just alligators trying to eat your leg off. And that's what we have in the world today. The alligators are trying to eat our arms and legs off, not to mention our heads. And they're all in it together. Some people like to think, oh, they're fighting. Oh, the Catholics are against this and the... Oh, baloney. I remember when I first discovered that the head of Notre Dame University, I mean, what more Catholic a school can you get than that? Father Theodore, father, I don't call him father, but other people do. Priest Theodore Hesburgh turned out to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, so the Catholic Church is connected with the globalist Council on Foreign Relations, but wait. Get its current membership list and you'll find that Richard Land, the top bureaucrat of the Southern Baptist Convention, is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. But hold on! The man they call America's pastor, New York Times best-selling author of Promise-Driven Life, or whatever it is. Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren, he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And by the way, the Council of La Raza, the Mexican group that wants to take back the Southwest states and give them back to Mexico, their leaders are also members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And it just so happens, as I'm talking to you right now, the Council of La Raza, which means the race, the Mexican race, that wants to steal back Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California for the Mexicans, and believes in unbridled invasion of illegal immigrants into the United States, has been given a $15 million grant by the Bush administration to teach Mexican culture to Los Angeles kids in our public schools. But wait, this very week they're holding their international convention of La Raza. And guess who's going to be featured speakers? Well, Senator John McCain, who happens to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, thank goodness Obama's not. Oh, he is. Oh, yes, of course he is. He's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's going to be speaking at Council of La Raza. This group that says our goal is to steal back these states. In fact, they want to set up a whole new nation called Aslan. And they're the same group that's responsible for a huge statue in San Jose, California that I've got a picture of and I'm going to put in my next book of a huge cobra serpent. And they say this is the Aztec god. And some Mexican priest in San Jose are telling the people that when they bow down and worship at this great serpent god statue, which is a statue of the ancient Aztec god of human sacrifice, Quetzalcoatl, that they're worshiping the true God of the Bible. That's right. Some Catholic priest are telling people in San Jose, get on your knees in front of this concrete statue of a great serpent, a rattlesnake, by the way, which is the god of Quetzalcoatl. But wait, you're actually just worshiping the same God that Moses, the prophets, and the apostles worshiped. And that's La Raza's doing, this idol, and it was paid for by the taxpayers' money. We're paying for idols to the serpent god to be built in America, and John McCain is part of this organization that's affiliated with it, and Barack Obama is going to be speaking to the same group this week, and I'm sure they'll be telling them how wonderful Mexican culture is. Already, Senator McCain spoke to a group of Latino leaders just last week, and guess what the man said to him? He got that little sick smile on his face. Oh. John McCain says to him, "Why, in my home state of Arizona, the people there years ago spoke Spanish before they ever spoke English." And they applauded, naturally. What was he saying? You can take back Arizona. And I understand that because Senator McCain, he was only using Arizona to get into the Senate. He's really a senator from Israel. Well, he doesn't need Arizona. He can give it back to the Mexicans and the North American Union. Now, I said all that, friends. Why did I say all that? Well, I told you about the weather. I think the weather patterns are changing. It's getting hot right here in my office. I'm getting hot behind the collar. I'll tell you. What was I going to talk about, Jerry? Dark Majesty, man alive. Dark Majesty. It was the second book ever in the world written to expose the Order of Skull and Bones. Now, I want to give, you know, he's passed away now. Brother Sutton, I think, died at age 83 or 84. A remarkable man. So I want to honor him for having written the first book ever. Now, I wrote the second book, so I guess I deserve a little bit of credit, but not as much as Anthony Sutton. And it's only fair. And it's fair to say, too, there are a couple of other books out now on Skull and Bones, but I think they're weak imitations compared to mine and Dr. Sutton's. Why do you think he was fired from Hoover Institution? After he wrote the book, he revealed too many secrets, and mine went on and revealed three or four times as much as Dr. Sutton. Now, you can get a copy of this book for $20. It's almost 300 pages in length. It'll tell you what you need to know. It names many names of the Skull and Bones, who they are, how they influence American society. It even tells you how the Illuminati itself works. And it will tell you what the elderly President George Herbert Walker Bush meant when he kept talking about 1,000 points of light. Oh, yeah, that Luciferian phrase, 1,000 points of light. Find out about that. You'll discover some interesting connections with the occult world and the language and phraseology of 1,000 points of light. $20, please add $4 for shipping and handling. And as for this book, it is, I still have to say, and I take pride, Well, some people say you shouldn't be prideful, but I do. Because I built on the work of a great man, Dr. Sutton, and people such as Mr. Anonymous, who gave me a list, which, by the way, I verified, of the membership of Skull and Bones. So I have helpers out there. I have to give them credit. We're all in the alligator pit together, and we're fighting the alligators, you and me, dear friends. And I want you to have this book, Dark Majesty, a total of $24. That'll be postpaid, shipping, everything taken care of. We've got plenty of copies on hand, so call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. During the workday, or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or conspiracyworld.com, all one word, conspiracyworld.com. And I want to mention also my newest book, Mysterious Monuments. It's out now. It's available. An incredible 624 large pages, large format, huge book, almost 900 photos and illustrations. I mean, it'll take you days just to see all the photographs in the book. The subtitle of Mysterious Monuments is Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Designs, Masonic Architecture, and Occult Places. And it's an unbelievable book. Mysterious Monuments. It's available, too, for $35. When you get it and you lift it, it's going to be so heavy, just taking it out of your box or whatever, your postal box, you'll know why we had to charge that much. It's about the size of three regular size books. $35. It's a virtual encyclopedia. Incredible. The architectural colossus exploding across the world. They're building Satan's empire right here on earth right now. Mysterious Monuments. $39. That includes $4 shipping and handling. Our toll-free number to order our books and products is 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us and send us a check, money order, or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. That's the Republic of Texas for those in the know. But just go ahead and put TEX, T-E-X, okay, and they'll get to us for sure. If you put Republic of Texas down, well, that may delay it. Okay, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and add USA if you're overseas. Of course, the great, the wonderful, the once constitutional United States of America. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets today. Hey, I was just revealing some secrets right then, Jerry. Jerry Barrett works for us here, of course. He's our webmaster, and he's over there at the controls handling the broadcast today, and Cammie Snyder is sitting in too. She takes a lot of our phone calls when you order things. People are telling me how much they love to talk to Cammie on the phone. She's just so friendly and all, just has a friendly voice. You know, sometimes you get a person on the phone, you can just tell right away they're a cheerful, friendly person. I think the reason why Cammie and Jerry, for that matter, are friendly is that they're like me. When they get up in the morning, they're not all grumpy and all. You see, we have something to live for, do we not? We have something to live for. I feel sorry for people who say, I have nothing to live for. Really? You see, I feel this way about it. In fact, I don't just feel, I know. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. And I love Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2. It says that God arranges the steps that we are to walk beforehand. Now think about that. You get up in the morning, and God has your day planned for you. Sometimes I get up in the morning, and I say, Wanda, what's on the docket for today? She says, well, you've got a meeting this time, and you've got to write some on this book, and you've got, remember, you've got to do that radio program tonight at 8 o'clock. And I go, oh, boy. And she has my schedule laid out for me. Well, that's what a good wife does, I guess. She keeps you working, going. Man, slave driver Wanda. No, I'm only kidding. I like to talk about Wanda when she's not here. My precious wife, she's next door here, just outside of voice range. She's sort of the keeper, you know, of Tex Mars. She's right here next door. Nobody can come in to see me without her. Well, I guess somebody could sneak in the back way here, but they don't do that much. Okay. Wanda's a sweetheart. And, in fact, her birthday's coming up. Did you know that? Wait, it's already passed. That's right, and I did give her a gift. Oh, man, my memory. See, today, I'm taking antibiotics. I got this, I think it's another brown recluse spider bite. And I'm taking antibiotics. I had to go to the emergency care place last night, and they gave me... So if I appear a little bit hazy today, folks, that's what it is. I had this bite, and boy, it was just itching. If you've ever heard about a brown recluse spider, I know that's what it is. And they gave me some antibiotics and such, but he said they may have to cut it out. I can blame it on the spiders. Today's program. Wanda, if you heard me, it's the spider talking. It's not Tex. But, see, even then, God must have known I was going to get bitten by a spider. Now, I don't know why he let me get bitten by a spider. It may have been somebody that I met down at the clinic. See, God puts you in relationship to other people in events. Things happen to you. I was in Orange, Texas. I spoke at a church some years ago. And, I was bopping down the road with Wanda, you know, after church. It was about 10:30 at night, and we had a wonderful service there, a worship service. I was the speaker. And out of a little side road turned out a young girl about Cammie's age. And she pulled right out in front of me, and I hit her. I threw on my brakes, and I hit her. Nobody was injured, but I got out. And I mean, she was the guilty one. She pulled right out on a major highway, right in front of me. And then she saw me coming and it scared her so much she threw in her brakes. Well, yeah, naturally, she'd have kept going, you know, but she threw in her brakes. Well, she stopped right in front of me. And of course, I threw in my brakes too. And, no one was speeding or anything. And as it turned out, the young girl was just coming from a Bible study. Okay. Now, you know, and I didn't know that at the time. But I got out, and the first thing I asked, you know, Wanda, are you okay? Wanda said, yes. Although it was, you know, what really jolted us. I got out, and I ran over to the young girl who looked like she was scared to death. And I asked her, are you okay? She said, yes, I am. I said, well, wonderful. And, you know, she got out, and I asked her name and where she was from. And we got to talking, and, of course, we had to wait for the police. Somebody came up, and they went and called the police because there was quite a bit of damage to both cars. And, but again, nobody was hurt. And I just chatted with her and was real nice to her and asked her, where she had been. I looked over in her car and I saw a Bible in her front seat. She said, I'm just coming back from a Bible study. I said, well, now that's interesting. I'm head of a Christian ministry and a Christian author, and I was just coming back from church. And I said, well, that's wonderful. So tell me a little bit about your Bible study. We got to talking. And, you know, she communicated with me after that several times. One of the things she told me was how wonderful it was. She said, I was so rattled. I was so scared. And I just knew you were going to jump out of that car and come over and grab me by the throat or something because it was my fault. Instead, the first thing you asked, she said, was, are you okay? And when I said yes, you said, thank God. Wonderful. She said, who could say wonderful when their car has just been bashed into? You know, who could say that but a Christian? So here this young girl had a Christian example. And it also told me again, reminded me how much our example means to the world. What if I had got out, started cursing her and berating her and saying, you idiot, you stupid person, how could you drive like that? You see? What kind of a Christian example would I have been? So, did God put me there? Did he cause the accident? I don't know, but I believe so. He has everything in his hands. He knows. Maybe that's it. The gal was probably 25 years younger than me. Someday, she's going to still be here, and she'll probably remember the time that she met Tex Mars. And you know, he was concerned about her rather than the silly old cars. Because we can get cars fixed. They're not going to go to heaven or hell. So we have to worry about the human beings, don't we? Well, I got a letter from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. And signed by Jerry Clark, the Director of Church Relations. Sounds like a big wig title. And let me just tell you what he says here. I'm not going to read all of it to you, and I don't know why he sent it to me. He sent it to me, a senior pastor, Power of Prophecy. He said, for the past 25 years, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews has been working to build bridges of understanding between the Christian and Jewish faith communities. It is gratifying, now listen to this, to know that instead of looking at what separates Christians and Jews, our organization, the Fellowship, focuses on what unites us. Now, I don't have to read you the rest of the letter, but I want you to get the gist of this one. Instead of looking at what separates Christians and Jews, this organization says, and by the way, it's a huge organization, has many millions of dollars, and thousands of Christian pastors are members of it, as well as many Jewish rabbis and others. Instead of looking at what separates Christians and Jews, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, quote, focuses on what unites us. And I thought about it. You know, I must tell you, here at Power of Prophecy, we focus on what separates Christians and Jews. You see, Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares. What is the difference between the wheat and the tares? I'll tell you what the difference is. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. The wheat is the seed of Jesus Christ. The tares belong to the devil, and they're going to be bundled together in the last days and sent to hell. I care about the Jews. I care whether they're part of the wheat or the tares. We're separated by Jesus Christ. Now, they say here, we don't look at what separates, but what unites. What does unite? A piece of land in Israel? Zionism? Is that what unites you and the Jews? Isn't that strange? Folks, let me tell you something. I have witnessed, and I have gone on programs talking to witches and Satanists and New Agers and Hindus and Buddhists, and I always tell them there is something that separates me and you, and his name is Jesus, and you need him. And if you had Jesus, as I have Jesus in my heart, we would be united in one. For we are all one through faith in Christ Jesus. But if you don't have Jesus, you are separated. And friends, if you think you're separated here on earth in this lifetime, watch what happens after you die. Because Hebrews chapter 9 says it's appointed for a person once to live on this earth, and afterward the judgment. This is the problem with these Jewish so-called Christian fellowship organizations. Jews for Jesus the same way. They focus on the race of the Jews and say, we want to bless the Jews. But the only way really you can bless the Jews is to give them Jesus. We're out of time. I'm Tex Mars. It's been a great pleasure to be with you today talking about secrets. We didn't get through them all, but there'll be another time. Been a pleasure to be with you, and my prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.